what we see is that the amount of transit, walking, and biking has gone up. In fact, we're one of five cities in the nation where a majority of people don't take single occupancy vehicles to work. One of only five. So that's pretty amazing. You know, we're in the midst of an historic era where people want to live in cities again. And we are trying to change the emphasis of our capital spending on transportation from huge highway mega projects to transit, walking, biking, local streets. And locally, we're working on that with our own resources. And I also worked with 47 mayors across the state to build a coalition for better funding for transit and better funding for local streets as well. So I would say that our focus is really thinking about mobility not as one major project's going to solve our problems, but a series of small projects, neighborhood-based projects, will make places better for walking and biking and transit. And collectively, we're laying the groundwork for an expansion of rail throughout the city with the adoption of our transit master plan.
There's a new bicycle master plan as well. As far as I understand, it's unfunded at this point, correct?
Well, I think that's true for much of our transportation work. Unfortunately, we've had 20 years of neglect or more of allowing, you know, deep maintenance backlogs to occur. So funding is an issue. But we do have a bicycle master plan coming up. But, you know, every time we get to redo a corridor, for example, we're redoing the 23rd Street corridor now, which goes through the central district, several central district business districts there, local business districts. And we worked with the community, and that's, we're not just going to go in and repave the street. We worked with the community. We'll make the sidewalk wider because that's what the community wants there. It's very narrow. We'll give transit a little more priority, and we'll build a greenway, a bike greenway adjacent to it. So every time we can do a major corridor project, we can do that.
How do we pay for those projects?
In those projects, we paid for them. We're paying for them out of general fund as well as state and federal grants in particular. Getting a local funding option from the state legislature would really help us with that as well. And a Bridging the Gap ballot measure will help as well. That's up for renewal. Another thing we've done is our traffic safety cameras, which is I would like no one to speed because people should drive 20 or less near our schools. But if people are going to speed, they will get ticketed. And we will put all of that money into making it safer for kids to walk to school. That's $14 million over the next 2 years. That's real money in our budget.
So what I'm hearing you say is it's not an effort to discourage people from driving single-occupancy vehicles, but encouraging them into other modes of mobility.
Yes. Let me be really clear about this. 10 years ago, 43% of the trips to downtown in the peak hour were single-occupancy vehicle in the peak hour. Today, it's 34%. If it were still 43% with the growth we've had, we'd need 12 more lanes and we'd need 10 square blocks of 10-story high parking garages. This is not ideological. It's geometrical. We cannot accommodate our job and housing growth with single occupancy vehicles. It cannot be done. So this is an economic issue. It's a health issue and it's an environmental issue. But it's ultimately it's a quality of life issue for people because you have to give people other choices to get around.
You mentioned a few minutes ago the taxing authority. That comes from the state. I know that King County is desperately seeking the authority to put to the voters the option to raise taxes to fund Metro buses. Otherwise, we're facing 17% cuts, I think, in service.
Yes. Here's what happens. It's the same thing that happened a couple of years ago with the roads and transit ballot measure. What the state legislature does is that in order to give, and they've said it to me directly, is we want to starve Seattle because we want you to come to the table hungry so you will support our highway expansion projects. And frankly, that has been made far worse by the loss of the Senate to the Republicans. So basically, they hold our transit money hostage to help build their, you know, climate-busting, climate-changing highways. And that's the challenge we face right now. I've come around to the opinion that I'd like the city or the county to just figure out, you know, maybe use a property tax to do it, to save Metro, because I want to set the hostages free. And they're going to do the same thing to Sound Transit expansion next. And they're doing this at the same time they're building new highways at the same time as they're not maintaining our existing highways. For example, I-5 through Seattle is at the end of its useful life. We're talking billions of dollars to replace I-5. It's essentially a series of bridges. And all we see from the state legislature is new mega projects that they want to see funded. I think both at the city level and at the state level, a real focus on there should be a real focus on two things. One is long-term bond measures to rebuild our roads and bridges. I think that's one piece. And then the other piece is new investments in transit. And those should be our capital priorities as a state and as a region and as a city.